On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we conclude our adventure into that galaxy far, far away as we look for Christian themes in Star Wars Episode 6, The Return of the Jedi. Is it the kindness of Luke that leads Darth Vader to repentance, giving him the way out of the dark side? Yes! All that and more in 3, 2, 1... Hey, come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 68. I'm Michael.
And I am Richard, Human Cyborg Relations.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
Is your Great Commission transmission.
Sir Richard Chilton is back. Woo! In the studio, baby. Hey, I forgot to ask you the last time because I was so excited to talk wrestling. Are you related to Alex Chilton?
No, I don't believe I am.
Ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train.
Well, if you were, you'd be even cooler. Because that kid was 16 years old when he sang that hit.
What?
16 Ooh. Years old. And that was a huge hit. And I've been waiting.
It sounds like he had already been smoking for like 30 years.
And it doesn't it also sound like I've been waiting 8 episodes to play that?
It does.
Because you last joined us on episode number 60, where we talked about
Forrest Gump,
right,
one of the greatest movies ever made.
I do have a feeling that's going to, so far, I think that's in the running for winning the year.
Either that or Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
Which were both up for Best Picture that year.
Oh, and
And a lot of people think it should have won. I'm still for Forrest.
Okay, hey, more well-mannered frivolity because we do have to get back to wrestling a little bit later on in the show. Brendan, what did we talk about last episode?
Last episode we talked about Episode 5, Star Wars Episode 5. Episode V,
yes.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, did you have any anything that you had to add to that or take away or multiply?
No?
Or I do.
Okay, well, ahead, sir.
I have one glaring mistake that I need to correct, and I mentioned when we were doing our shout-outs and running down the cast that the Emperor was the only Emperor. He's always played the Emperor, and that's not the case, because in Episode V, The Empire Strikes Back, it was somebody else. Mm-hmm. But now McDermott, whatever his first name is, I can't remember.
Ian McDermott.
Okay, he and a classically trained stage actor was brought on in episode number, what we're doing today, episode number 6. And the reason why he was brought in was because George Lucas had seen him in a production where he had on makeup to make him look much older. And he says, not only does this guy, can he act, but he's going to be able to look the part when we put this makeup on him and make him look old.
I'm curious as to what production it was. We'll have to look into that.
We will, because I thought that you would be all over that.
And I think it's so cool that he was younger then,
yes,
looked incredibly old in the movie,
yes,
and then in 1999,
yes,
played the younger version of his character, but he was older.
Right. Yep.
That's just too awesome.
It is neato. And so anyway, I needed to make that that correction. And also, Brendan, I completely and utterly stepped all over and missed your Jimi Hendrix reference in the last episode.
You know, Michael, I like to throw in those little bitty,
yes,
those little bitty things.
Cultural references.
Yes.
Yes.
That may be nowhere near anything apropos to our conversation.
Right, right.
I just like them to be in there just to make sure that you and our audience are keeping up.
Just adding a little salt, right?
Yeah, just add a little
so
flavor.
Here is what we're going to do.
A little kick.
I'm wondering if everybody else missed it as well. Did everybody miss Brendan's Jimi Hendrix reference in the last episode? If not, whoever can identify it, let us know. We'll give you all the contact information at the end of the show, and you will get a special shout-out if you can find,
yes, sir,
Brendan's Jimi Hendrix reference. Anything else?
Oh, I think I know a couple listeners who will pick it up as soon as they hear it.
Yeah. Now that they know, oh, it's there? Okay. Yeah. They'll get it right away. You ready to go to the movies?
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Well, I did have a response to last week's show.
Sorry.
Your message about the show.
I don't even know what I talked about.
The force is not strong with this one.
No, the age is, though.
So, I believe, if I remember correctly, your message was something along the lines of, if you loved God, you would go out and help the other people you love as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like how Luke went out and helped his people. And I have a confession that that has been weighing heavily on my heart recently. And I've realized of course, we can never love God enough, and we can never love each other enough.
Right. To merit?
Yes.
Right. You're not capable of meriting any of his favor.
But I know that I have more potential than I have put out. I know that I have.
I think that if we're all honest with ourselves, or at least the majority of us, because I do know people out there that, you know, I mean, they eat, live, breathe, sleep, serving God, and make me quite, frankly, ashamed of myself because again, to be absolutely clear, we cannot serve enough. We cannot help Mm-mm. other people enough. We cannot sing enough songs. We cannot praise enough. We cannot do anything good enough or enough to merit our salvation.
There's even you didn't learn this in the last episode, but I'm also a gigantic Superman fan. If you ever wanted to cover the original Superman movie, I'll be here.
Oh, 1977, 1978. Yes,
I'll be here.
Okay.
But there was even a Superman graphic novel released where he tries to feed the world and he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Even Superman can't help everyone.
Right.
We can't do it all.
So, well, then should that give me, should that bum me out so much, Richard, that I just say, well, I can't do enough, so I'm not going to do anything?
Well, no.
Oh.
Because, you see, God appreciates all that you do, and because he loves you. He's like that incredible father.
Yeah.
He looks at the child, and he says, look, my child has made this little dog out of clay for his class, and it doesn't look like a dog, but he made it.
Yep.
It's amazing. He's trying.
Yeah.
He is doing something.
And he also loves all the other people, just as much. And when we are serving and helping his other children, that makes it, wow, beaming with pride, right? Kind of thing, you know, speaking as a father. So, yes, thank you for adding that to, in your confession. I mean, we are supposed to confess one to another, and I confess back to you, and we're all, here we are being the church right here in this studio. Can we be the church of the theater?
As long as we keep it down near the trailer.
All right, here we go.
Return for the climactic clash between the forces of good and evil. Return to a galaxy far, far away. Return of the Jedi. The next chapter in the continuing Star Wars saga. The battle for freedom rages on. The heart of a hero. The courage of a rebel. The strength of a leader. The loyalty of comrades. The power of the Force. The cunning of the enemy. A destiny revealed.
Is Darth Vader my father?
A legend fulfilled. An epic of heroes, villains, and aliens from a thousand worlds.
Need your crap!
The quest continues. The circle closes. The saga lives on. Return of the Jedi begins May 25th at a theater in your galaxy.
Let's go! Let's go! Oh, that's
I'll go watch
year.
That movie.
Yeah.
I am glad that trailers have gotten better. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Come on.
I'm sorry.
Wow. That's rough. All right, okay. Brendan, how is your journey in that galaxy far, far away coming along?
Coming along. It's over now.
Oh, oh,
no, it's not. There's another installment on December 18th.
Well, for now,
yes, you're
it's
all caught
over.
Up.
I'm all caught up.
And?
I'm with the rest of the world.
Okay.
I really like the way this trilogy ended.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And I why like is it. That?
Oh, because my main thing, and I was talking with Richard about this the other night, my main thing is I felt like there was so much more focus and more gravitas given to Luke's side of the story, whereas, you know, whenever the film diverted back to the Emperor and Darth Vader, it was those quick little snippets. And, you know, not saying that they weren't cut short or anything, because they were still effective. However, the main story followed Luke and followed his journey along with Han and along with Leia.
Yeah.
And we really saw them grow together. And that's what I liked most about it. And the presence of evil was still there. They were still on a mission.
Right.
They were still trying to extinguish that evil. But we as the audience got to spend more time with them, and we got to see them interacting with each other. And that's what really got it for me.
All right. That's
what I like.
So you believe that it ended on a high note?
I think so.
Okay, and this is my least favorite of all six movies.
What?
Michael, yeah. I knew you would say that.
But do you know why?
Ewoks?
If you go out in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go out in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their pick.
George Lucas put teddy bears in a Star Wars movie.
Weren't they supposed to be Wookiees or something?
Yes. He got too cutesy. This one, it has a...
Definitely.
Has a completely different feel, and especially after he goofed with it, with all the modern technology and able to put in things, like in Jabba's palace, in his place, and the band, and so it's like, too much, stop! Please stop, George! You get silly! You know,
yes.
And I mean, you know that it was at this time where he was regretting, I shouldn't have had Han shoot first. What are the kids going to think that, you know, Han shot first back in episode number 4, you know, and things like that. Now, if you took the Ewoks out and put Wookiees or something else in there, I would feel completely different.
Yes.
It is the teddy bears that just, I mean... Deed, deed, deed. It's that song, man, and I love. Shout out to FCC's very own Warwick Davis.
Yeah, there you go,
Professor Flitwick,
Green Gods Banker. I can't think of his name, but
Griphook.
Yeah,
okay,
that's it. Yeah,
yes. So he's FCC's very own, and he was a youngster back then. I have 1 year on him, so whatever. This came out in 82.
83, something
83?
Like
83, okay. So he was like 12 years old when he's playing Wicket. Yeah. He's a little guy.
Oh.
And Warwick Davis, you know, love him. You know, but he was a little kid when he did that role. But anyway, so I just had to get that out of the way there. Ewoks, please.
I entirely agree, sir. A couple years...
Don't you think it distracted...
A couple years ago, I went back and watched the whole series again, all six of them. And watching this one, I thought, this is where... All the goofiness that's in episode
Jump
one.
The shark.
This is where the goofiness in episode one, this is where it started.
Yeah.
Was this movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, George wrote it. He wrote it with Lawrence Kasdan, right? But he didn't direct it. Someone else directed it. So I guess George is still in the background saying, I still want this stuff in here.
Yeah, I want teddy bears in there.
And the director might be thinking, I don't know.
I think that George, and I think he's a great visionary.
Oh, yes.
But I think that he's a scared visionary. What do people think? We got to tone this down. We got to cutesy it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. We need to smooth out the rough edges, I think. But see, now getting to episode one, it works in episode one for me because I fell in love with little Annie. And you're supposed to, you know, and that's going to be part of my point.
Did it work with the Gungans, though, in episode one?
For me, if you go back to our episode on episode one, The Phantom Menace, I focused on Jar Jar Binks.
Ooh, you did?
Yes, and my focus on it, for any of you who have not listened to that, go back in the archives. My whole point was, we are Jar Jar Binks. Oh, that's pretty intriguing.
That's
there.
Depressing.
Yeah. No, actually, it is not.
Well, so, no. Your point, Michael, though.
Yes, I understand.
Is that's why a lot of people didn't like him?
Yes, because we see
so much of ourselves in him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I don't believe that.
Okay. Go back and listen to that episode.
I think it's Ewok syndrome is what
so,
it is.
Okay, so let's bring it back to the positive here. Yes. How about some positive?
To the light side.
You know, any special shout-outs that we should throw out this episode? Anything that really stood out to you?
Well, we've already talked about Ian McDiarmid.
Yeah.
As the Emperor.
As Darth Sidious. Ooh, more on that later on.
Now,
as well.
Did we even get his name?
No, we did not until the newer
we didn't even get Palpatine, did we? But everyone knew his name was Palpatine.
Yeah.
I just wonder how that came about. How people started to know that.
Well, we talked about him. Again, the main cast, you gotta love him. Yeah. And I really love the growth that we see. Actually, I will say that I felt like Harrison Ford showed some more of his chops in this one.
Yes.
Especially during the whole time when he was still being defrosted from the carbonite.
Yes. When he was being fawned on by the teddy bears? How he's uncomfortable with that, but doesn't want to be rude and start anything. I thought that he played that well. Mm-hmm. Those are two extremes.
Even C-3PO got a little bit more to do in this movie.
Being the Daniels. Golden God.
Oh, that scene was so funny. Yeah. It was so good.
So some characters got more of a chance in this movie than they didn't. The episode 5 was clearly, that was Han and Leia's show. I mean, not their whole show, but they got a lot to do in that. Right. They were toned down some in this one. And then C-3PO got a moment. That was nice.
Yeah. I would want to make this statement. I feel like the first two films, episodes 4 and 5, could have been one story, one film. And
man, if you would come around to the light side on episode number 4, you would understand that it's a perfect film.
Perfect.
Yes.
It's very good.
It's the Mary Poppins of films, practically perfect in every way. Okay. Are we done with shout outs and stuff? Do we need to jump into it?
Have you guys, on any of these episodes, shouted out to Mr. Don Williams yet?
Don Williams?
John. No. John Williams.
Oh, yes,
John
yes. Yeah.
You have.
In fact, I likened him to Bach and Beethoven and
Mozart.
Because John Williams is one, I think, he's right under George Lucas as being the most important figure in Star Wars.
Amen.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
His music plays such a role that if you put any other composer in there, it wouldn't be the same.
The word is iconic. I mean, you know, he is just as recognizable as Mozart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can say, that's Star Wars. That's John Williams. Genius. Yes. Genius is the word.
And he's back on the next one.
And he's back!
And there was a picture that made me excited. It was a picture of him, Kathleen Kennedy, another fellow, I can't remember, I think Lawrence Kasdan, one of the writers, and J.J. Abrams.
Oh.
And it said under it, The Brain Trust. And I thought, is John Williams, does he have an important role in figuring out these films?
Huh.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, because
he sets the mood and tells a story.
Mm-hmm.
With it. Yep. Okay. You guys ready to go on?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
A long time ago in a garden far, far away, man was given the choice between the light side and the dark, between eternal life with God and their own selfish ambition. They were deceived by a serpent into thinking that the dark side was the correct path, and so they fell into a life of pain, suffering, and death. God loved them so much that he came to earth in the form of his son and gave himself up so that they may understand his love for them and come back to the light side. Now, our Jedi Knights have been sent out into the world to confront those deceived by the dark side and bring them back into the light.
We were supposed to do some kind of thing with our mouths. Brandon, what was that? Do you have any idea?
You were supposed to have where John Williams' music goes.
You mean like little chimes and things like that? We're supposed to be able to do that?
I was just going to let him read.
Okay. So I want to start with all the way back. Episode 1.
Uh-huh.
Anakin Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
The young kid, so full of life, full of hope. And that is mankind at the beginning in the garden.
See, we're going to make the same exact points.
I told you.
This is man in the garden.
Okay.
And we are innocent and we have so much potential. But then, episodes 2, episodes 3, we are deceived by a serpent.
Ooh.
And told, no, go away from the light side. Go away from God, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as I have understood it, and I may be wrong, so don't take this to the bank, in Hebrew, when they have two things like that, two entirely opposite things side by side, it means the knowledge of everything.
All right.
So, taking that, the tree of the knowledge of everything, mankind wanted to know everything. And the serpent said, if you do, if you go after that tree, you will be given eternal life. You will be like God. You will know everything and be all powerful with the dark side of the force.
Yes.
Yes.
Let the hate flow through you.
And if you give in to the dark side of the force, you will be like God himself. And so,
laugh it up, fuzzball.
So this is too fun. Okay. So Anakin is like mankind itself. We gave in to the serpent.
It's a trap.
It was a trap, Admiral Akbar, you were correct. And we cannot repel the power of the magnitude of the dark side.
Never tell me the odds.
You make a statement. We've got it.
Just yeah, keep going. So, we are Anakin. We were deceived. We were brought to the dark side of the Force.
Yes.
And so, God still has a plan, though. He had a plan. He brought his son to Earth. He brought himself to Earth in the form of his son and said, I love you so much. Please come back and partake of the tree of life.
Right.
Go away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and all things and the dark side. Come to the light. He gave himself up for us so that we can understand how much he loves us and how much we should come back. So, my point is about now that we have come back to the light side, what do we do to those who are still on the dark side, who are still giving
What do
in,
we do to them?
What do we do to them, with them? How do we speak to them?
For
how do
them?
We confront them?
Okay. Okay.
How do we confront Darth Vader? So, Luke himself started off as the bratty kid. I just want to go get some power converters.
Yeah. I'm never going to go join the rebellion.
Oh, man.
And then he realizes he's forced. He is pushed out onto his journey because, you know, his Uncle Owen and his aunt forgot her name, Gertrude or whatever. She passed.
Peru?
Peru, yeah.
Or Baru.
Baru.
Yeah.
Don't look at me. I don't know.
They were destroyed by the Empire.
You're in the club now.
And
you're in the Star Wars club.
And Ben Kenobi introduced him. Old Ben said, look, you've got to come and become a Christian. You've got to do it. This is the mission. And you'll be able to do great things if you do. And he's like, I don't know. I just want to buy power converters. And so...
And wine.
And wine, yeah. And shoot womp rats, yeah. You know.
And be faster and more intense.
Inside joke.
Yes.
Okay. And when he is forced on his path, he's got nowhere else to go. Decides, you know what? I've got to follow the Force.
Where else could I go? Oh, where could I go? Needing a refuge for my soul. You don't know any old hymns, do you?
No.
Wow! No.
There are only 836,000 of them.
And I got them in this book. Okay.
So, he decides to go after the Force, to follow God.
Yes.
And he's very good at it. So good that he doesn't even need his targeting computer to blow up the Death Star. He does it.
Because he lets go...
And let's force.
Yes.
And let's God. Then he goes under his training. He goes to church. He starts to learn about God. He learns about the Force. But he's a little too brash. He says, I've got to go out and I've got to face these people. I've got to face Darth Vader. I've got to face those who are against Christianity and against God. I've got something to say about them, and I got something to say to them. And he goes out, and he challenges them, and he fails. He fails against Darth Vader, and
it cost him.
It cost him an arm. Brought him a step closer to the dark side, a step closer to being like his father, to being it. And those of us who run out there without being prepared and run out to non-believers and confront them without being mentally and spiritually prepared for it, we might become a little closer.
That's what patron Saint Ron was pointing out in Pacific Rim with the sword. Why didn't they break out the sword earlier? Because they were not prepared to wield it.
Right.
Yes. So that fits right in with the MO of the show here recently.
Now, I am amazed when we see Luke the first time in this movie. Because
and why?
Oh, it's Return of the Jedi was my favorite when I grew up. It was my favorite.
His commanding presence.
Oh, yeah. Because
confidence.
When we first see him at Jabba's palace, turn with me if you will in your Bibles to page 1329. No, take that back to page 1257. To Galatians 5:22-23. I brought it up on the last time I was on the show, and I'm back to it.
And we brought it up last episode.
Good. Because
we always
bring it up later on, too.
Those who follow the Force,
yes,
and those who follow God and follow the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Read that again, and I told you that on episode 60, because this is something that I think the church has lost. I think we have forgotten this.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
I'm tempted to just let that sit there.
Just for a moment.
You know?
A moment of silence for Galatians.
Yeah.
And so, when we first see Luke in this movie, he has these. He is patient. He is kind. He is faithful. Gentle, even. Gentle in his sternness to Jabba. He doesn't say, "I'm coming to kill you, Jabba."
Turn to burn,
Jabba.
Right.
He tells him there will be consequences.
And
please change.
I don't want to do this to you. By the way, side note, my friend, shout out to Nate Cochran, my buddy who...
Is he related to Eddie Cochran?
No. <Okay.
laughs> Don't clip a song.
Other side note to my side note, Nate and I are coming up with a movie idea. I'll tell you.
Oh, nice. We like movies.
Yes, a Christian movie. Nate looks at this scene, this whole thing at Jabba's, and he asks, their plan, did it go off as planned, or did it fail miserably and they improvised? Was all of that the plan all along and it worked? I don't think it was the plan. I think they had a plan and it failed. But Luke gave in to the Spirit so much, and he was still sure and calm and focused
that
and
it
stern
made it seem that
he was that, yes, because in the face of others, he was very sure of his faith. And do you think that we as Christians in the front of others need to be that confident?
I think that we need to be confident,
yes,
but we need to temper that with all of these things listed in Galatians 5.
Do you think
5.
Luke was that type of tempered confidence?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
This is why Luke is one of my favorite characters.
Amen,
ever.
Brother. Amen. Ever. I've been waiting for 30 years to talk about this.
Oh.
This point.
Oh. He is so sure he is now the true Jedi Knight, now the true Christian. He has put away childish ways, and he is now an adult.
He's a follower.
Yes.
Of the way.
No longer
the
just
way.
The fan.
Right.
The follower.
Yes.
And then Yoda and Ben both say, the time has come. It is time for your test. You must face Darth Vader. You must face those who are against God. Face the, in quotations, sinners, the missers of the mark. Go out into the world now. You're prepared. Speak to those who are against us. With your confidence, with your love, your peacefulness, your kindness, your gentleness, your care, go out and speak to them. Brendan, did you have something to say about the confrontation with Luke and Vader?
I think now would be a good time, because my point for this show is just going to be a little tidbit. Whenever Jesus talks about the cost of discipleship, and I believe this is where, you know, Bonhoeffer gets the title for his book, but there's this passage in Luke chapter 14, I believe. I'm checking my notes, yeah. But in Luke chapter, yeah, in chapter 14, he's telling his disciples, look, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, if you want to discipline yourself enough to be one of my followers, then you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and do what I do, and follow me. He then later says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and his mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And this is the situation that we come to with Luke Skywalker, because he doesn't want to hate his father. He doesn't even want to confront him, even though that is his test. And in this first clip, we hear Obi-Wan, you know, after the passing of Yoda, after Yoda's twilight.
There is another.
After Yoda's twilight and after Yoda's night has come. And I love that scene, by the way, because we were talking about Frank Oz being the puppeteer in the last episode.
Uh-huh.
This episode, he just gets it more. Anyway. So then, you know, Luke's mourning outside the ship, and then Obi-Wan appears.
Yes. Old Ben.
And he's got this thing going on. So let's listen to the clip and see what he says.
Here we go.
There is still good in him.
He's more machine now than man, twisted and evil.
I can't do it, Ben.
You cannot escape your destiny. You must face Darth Vader again.
I can't kill my own father.
Then the Emperor has already won.
Then the Serpent has already won.
Ooh! Now, I just bring this up because it also reminds me of Pilgrim's Progress.
Which many things are wont to do.
Yes, which is why I'm titling this little section of mine, Luke Skywalker's Precious Family Jewels.
This little section of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
No, Richard.
Do you know that song?
I know that song, yeah. who wrote that? Admiral Akbar?
Mr. Mime, I'm gonna let it shine.
It's a trap!
Or, Oh Luke of Little Faith, again.
Again!
Again, because...
Was that the title of yours last time?
Yes, that's why I said it again. But now I say Pilgrim's Progress, and I use the phrase Little Faith specifically, because as Hopeful and Christian are walking toward the Celestial City... Hopeful tells Christian of another one of his friends. His name was Little Faith.
I told you he was Trixie.
And he was Trixie because even though he had met up against some robbers on the way to the Celestial City, and he gave them most of everything, he still held on to his jewels.
Yeah.
Oh.
To his few precious stones. And that cost him. And in the same way of Luke holding on to his father, that's already cost him his arm. How much more will it cost him by the end of the film? Now, you know, of course, we know how it ends. We know what happens. But it's very interesting to see at this point in the film when Luke believes he's ready, but Obi-Wan and Yoda say, no, you're not, because you still have to go face your father. It could have been easy just to run the other way. And then, you know, who would have known you know, who knows what would have happened. But Obi-Wan and Yoda were very specific. No, if you're going to be a full Jedi, you will have to face your father. And it's the same way with Jesus. When he says, look, if you're going to follow me, and for some reason, you know, your family members or your closest friends, or maybe something that's not even an organic matter, something that you hold close and personal to you, if you can't let me become before that, then you can't be my follower.
That's right.
And, you know, sidebar, I'm speaking to myself as I'm speaking to everyone else. So, you know, Richard,
we always are.
Yeah. Set the precedent for the confession.
Yes.
I mean, that's just one of those things. I don't know. It may be a lifetime. It may be something drastic happens. I don't know. All I know is with this scene between Obi-Wan and Luke, I see Jesus saying, look, if anyone wants to follow me and does not hate his own father, he cannot be my disciple.
All right. Sir Richard, so he needs to go and face Vader.
He's got to face the unbeliever.
Okay.
Now, when he faces Vader, he's always kind to Vader and very positive and very assured, very confident. He says, look, Father, there is good in you. I know there is. I've felt it.
Just as he treated Jabba. Yes. I have confidence that you will make the right decision.
I care for you.
Yes.
And I am not going to be cruel to you and tell you, you're wrong. You're going to hell.
Yeah.
You're going to hell. It's a trap.
And it serves you right. You deserve it. It
serves you right. Yes. I can't stand that. No. Can't stand it.
I don't think God can either.
An
interjection.
I just want to quickly point out what God says through Ezekiel.
Ezekiel. Favorite of ours.
He says in chapter 33, verse 11, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live.
Yep.
And live and keep the life.
That's the kind of God we serve.
Yeah. He continuously puts the ball in our court. However,
long suffering.
Perseverance.
Yes.
Like,
ever loving kindness. Jabba, please, you have time now. Stop.
Father.
And live.
Father. Turn around.
There's good in you. Just come with me.
Emperor, there's...
Yeah.
Hello to David in the chat room. He's in the chat room.
What's up, David?
Yes.
If a giant comes nearby, grab a slingshot.
And five smooth stones.
Five smooth stones. And,
yes.
Well,
yes.
I was going to make a reference to the statue where he's not wearing anything, but you can wear clothing. Moving on.
In fact, please do.
Moving on.
Oh, man.
Okay, so he tells Vader, you can turn back to the light side. You can be good again. You can live forever. You can have eternal life. Darth Vader, you can have eternal life, unbeliever. You can have eternal life, homosexual. You can have eternal life.
You can live,
Satanist. You can have eternal life, anyone.
Yeah.
Any one of you can. And I have a note here that you should speak of the eternal life, but probably when you're going out and facing non-believers, don't go tossing out speak of hell. Don't go telling them you're going to hell. If you don't do this, you're going to hell and you're going to suffer forever. It's going to be terrible. I personally, and Brendan might be on the train too, we're starting to understand hell a little differently. As I read the scriptures, I see nothing about it saying that we're going to burn forever and ever and ever and suffer.
For more on that, you can listen to the Theonauts two or three episodes ago.
Yes. So go to Theonauts, listen to the correct episode, all of them, but listen to this particular one. Don't go spouting out.
You're going to hell.
There are places where that kind of a pitch will work. It does not work in modern America. It doesn't work because all people have to do is say, I don't believe in anything that you're saying.
And boom.
Yeah. You're not offering me anything. Mm-hmm. You're not offering me anything positive. Why would I turn to that?
Do you realize, friends,
anyone
who has used that method before. Do you realize that that is the method that Emperor Palpatine used? He used the method of fear.
He did.
Fear is a path to the dark side,
which is the exact opposite of Galatians chapter 5,
yes,
verses 22 and 23.
The exact opposite.
Yeah, it's the antithesis.
Don't go try and fear people
right
into believing God. Now, there is a fear you have to have of God. We know that. A fear that is out of respect, out of love, and out of a genuine fear. Well,
that's a different kind of a fear, though.
Different
okay
kind?
We're talking fear as being being afraid of the unknown and things like that. What's the opposite of that fear? Is hope.
Hope. A new hope.
A new hope. And this is a new hope that Luke is offering.
Yes.
He offered it to Jabba. He's offering it to his father.
Luke came into that hope. He followed that hope wholeheartedly. Yeah. And now he's trying to give that hope to others.
Okay, I'm not interjecting anymore because I'm getting antsy.
I'm just sitting back here listening.
Let us turn into our, what is it, Brendan? Swords?
Our swords.
Let us turn into our swords, into our stings, into our Excaliburs.
Into the second greatest book of the Bible?
To the book of Romans.
Yes, please. I was correct.
Yes.
How did you know?
We are turning to Romans in page 1205.
What chapter, sir?
Chapter 2.
That would be page 1127.
Turn to your lightsaber and read.
Wait. When we pull out the Bible, it goes.
Yes.
Because it radiates.
Yes. What,
light.
What color does yours glow?
Mine's green.
No, mine is.
No,
mine. I want to be Luke Skywalker.
Okay. Anyway, okay.
Turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 4.
Yes, and it's not even time
for well-mannered frivolity.
We just can't.
It's
hold our
always time yes, for okay well-mannered frivolity.
Chapter 2 and verse 4.
We're going to go to the very tail end of the verse. God's kindness leads you towards repentance.
Amen! You just proved the point. Beautiful.
God's kindness leads to repentance. Your kindness.
Yeah.
You be kind to people like Christ was so kind to others.
Oh,
Christ
my goodness
was kind to the prostitutes, to the tax collectors, to everyone who was cruel to him. He was kind to them. The Roman soldiers that put him on the cross, he was kind to them.
Okay. Sir Richard Chilton steps up to the plate. Here comes the pitch. Boom! There it goes! Yeah, with his lightsaber. It's going over the wall! Friends, rewind back 30 seconds and listen to Richard. Your
okay
brother Richard.
God's kindness leads to repentance. So here, Luke versus Vader versus the Emperor, the Serpent. Luke, during this, we know, struggles with the dark side, because when you go up against unbelievers, they're going to throw at you a lot of things that are going to be very tempting. They're going to sound very good. You're going to have the intelligent people who have studied religion their whole life, simply as a study. They don't follow any of it. And they're going to tell you, well, this is nothing like all the other religions, and this is nothing like this, and it makes no sense scientifically, blah, blah, blah. You're going to come against those who are going to give you pleasure. No. Don't follow those things. Give in to your pleasure. Yeah. There are going to be people who are going to throw you so many different things, and it's going to be tempting. While Luke is facing Vader, the dark side is tempting him. The Emperor, the Serpent, is tempting him. Give in to your hate. Strike me down with
throwing everything he has at him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Luke starts to give in. And I hope that when you go out and face the Vaders of the world, you don't start to give in. Luke started. Luke, in one of the most incredible action sequences ever, simple action sequence. It doesn't have to be over the top. Simple fight with so much drama.
I love the fight in this film.
Storytellers, filmmakers, yeah, pay attention to the lightsaber battles in episodes 5 and 6. They are so meaningful. They don't have to be over the top. And everything is powerful.
Yes. Just the initial strike when Luke takes his lightsaber and he goes for Palpatine. excuse me, the Emperor, and then you see that red saber come in and block it, and that frame right
there,
that single frame, you've got the boat, you've got both lightsabers crossing over, and you've got you've got Darth Sidious right there, you got the Emperor right there.
You have sin and temptation just throwing everything that he has.
Yep.
Now he's fighting with the dark side at the same time fighting his father. And he starts to give in, and you have that flurry of blows where Luke is so strong that he starts beating his father down in one of the most harrowing things I've ever seen. You see this character that is so good, and you see them do something this horrible. It's painful to watch.
Right.
You've seen characters in movies do more terrible things than what Luke does here, but you know that the character is so good that seeing him do this terrible thing, it's painful to watch because he's striking down so hard on the Vader's saber and eventually slices off the hand.
He's going against his training.
Yes, he is.
Because Yoda was very specific in saying Jedi's only use the Force for defense, never attack. Yes. And in that scene, Luke goes on the offensive and he goes against his training. Things start falling apart.
When you go up against the unbeliever and you go on your offensive, you might hurt them. You might hurt them to the point that they're not coming back to the light side.
Exactly. Oh, that's the scariest thought that I can conjure up.
Woe be unto those who would cause others to stumble.
Better a millstone be tied around your neck and you be thrown into the deep.
Than cause one of these little ones to stumble.
Oh, man.
Wow. And that's another thing I think that American Christianity has forgotten.
Yes. Now, he slices off the hand and sees...
And is immediately transported back where?
To Cloud City.
No!
What?
Even before that!
Ooh.
The tree cave on Dagobah.
Yes.
Mm.
And he sees his face.
Himself.
Yeah. His hand. He sees his hand missing on Darth Vader's hand. Oh, and he's looking back in that mirror, Brendan. He's looking in the mirror to flash back to the last episode.
And he sees something so horrible he can't face it.
So he chooses to look into another mirror.
He decides, okay, I'm turning around.
Yes.
I'm throwing my weapon away now. I don't need that anymore. And just so you know, there is hope. Even if you make that mistake and you go on the offensive and you harm the non-believer, even if you do that, there is still hope. There's always hope
absolutely.
That they can turn around.
Go,
you repent.
Go back to Galatians 5, chapter 22. That's what you do. Look in that mirror.
I didn't know the Galatian had 22 chapters.
I'm sorry. Chapter 5, verses 22.
Yes. Look in that mirror. Not the mirror that is in verse 19 beforehand.
Right.
The acts of sinful nature.
Right.
Now, Luke turns around. In his own sort of way, he repents right then. Because he throws his weapon away. I would suggest myself, if you harm a non-believer with your words, repent not only to God, but to them.
Them.
Go to them and apologize. Say, I have done something terrible.
I did it against my God. I did something I was not supposed to do.
And I did it against you as
yes,
well.
Yes, yes.
And that is painful to
please accept
him.
My apology. Yep.
And he throws away his weapon. And then the serpent, he says, there's no hope for you to come to the dark side now. Then I will just destroy you. What is it he says, Brennan? You've memorized it almost.
He said,
Now, Luke Skywalker,
you will die. Side note, I believe that sound, the sound for the lightning was taken from... Okay. In the original Star Wars, the sound designer went to called up the guy that made the electronic equipment for Frankenstein.
Oh!
He called up that guy and said, we want to use your equipment because you still have it. We want to record the sound of those electric things going for this movie. And he didn't let them.
Stinker.
But then he saw the movie and said, I'm getting in on this.
Yeah.
So he let them come in. Use his equipment, that the stuff you saw in Frankenstein with the lightning, which was real effects, of course.
Yeah.
Use the equipment to make the sounds for the lightsabers clashing and other stuff, and probably for the lightning from Emperor Palpatine.
Huh.
That's from Frankenstein.
Nice!
Such cool movies.
Yes.
He's striking him down with the lightning, causing him pain, wanting to destroy him, not knowing that if Luke dies, he's probably becoming a Force spirit. He's probably going to live an eternal life. And the serpent just can't understand that, it seems. And he starts to strike him down. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 3.
All right.
Oh, buddy.
1 Peter chapter 3 on page 1328 of your lightsabers. Chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. If you are such a good person that you are giving yourself up to others, you are gentle to them, kind to them, you are showing that fruit of the Spirit, being the true Jedi Knight to others, to your Darth Vaders, they just might turn around and realize when someone else comes and shoots lightning at you, they might realize, what have I done?
Yes.
This is a good yes. person. I need to help them. And Vader says, my son is in pain. This good person who has treated me so well is in pain. No. And he goes, no, no. And picks up Emperor Palpatine, throws him down the shaft, throws him into the fiery lake to which he is. And as I've picking back up on the hell thing, the only time that I've read in the Bible that it says the hell is eternal is only for Satan. Satan, those marked by the number and the false prophet. Satan, the serpent, Palpatine, is thrown in there, and he's gone. He's done with it. The expanded
There's
universe.
There's a finality to that. Yes. Seems like, the, and he's gone.
The expanded universe would say otherwise, yeah. But...
because, well, that's been all... That, yeah, it's been wiped clean. Except for... They're keeping Darth Bane in canon.
Really?
Oh! Oh!
I don't know much. I've heard a bit about it. Dun, 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 la, 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 la,
la, la, la, la, la. Let's just put it this way. Darth Bane is a mean dude.
Yes.
Okay, I hear he doesn't know which will break first, your spirit or your body.
Yeah, no, he's going for both first. Of them.
Your spirit or your body.
Oh, Darth Bane.
Tune in next week to Finding Christ in Cinema.
Hey, there you go. Good. Hey, that was a good plug.
Vader,
you are hired. Okay, go ahead.
Vader saves Luke. And Vader is redeemed through Luke's love and patience and kindness and assurance of the good within him and his chance to return to the light side of the Force and have eternal life. Luke is constantly kind and good and assuring him, and Vader turns around. And now Vader's saying, look, I'm at the end of my life, son. You've saved me. Thank you. And Luke wants to bring him back and keep traveling with him, but God's got other things to do with Darth Vader now. You've done your part with him. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Luke Skywalkers of the world, for being kind and loving to the Darth Vaders and helping them. Now, I'm going to take a step further from Return of the Jedi. Luke does this again in the expanded universe, which is wiped clean, but to me, it's still there. There's a character, spoiler alert.
Okay, spoiler alert.
If you're going to read into the expanded universe, there's going to be a character named Mara Jade. Mara Jade.
I wonder if they're keeping her.
Oh, I wish.
But. I mean, because the Thrawn trilogy
yes.
doesn't exist.
So Mara Jade, her mission is to kill Luke Skywalker.
Good story.
Yes. That was instilled, the serpent instilled that into her mind. So it pops up all the time. Kill
yes.
Luke Skywalker. In the print, in the book, all caps when it comes up, showing you this is strong in her mind. Mm-hmm. When you come up against people that are, not only are they not believers, they are against you. They want to hurt you. They want to do evil things to you. If you are someone of a chocolate skin tone and you're in the streets of, what was it, Boston? Where was it where the riots happened?
Well,
if you're in something like that and someone comes up to you and wants to beat on you and be cruel to you, you're still loving in return. Do amen. That. Do that. Be loving to all of them. If you are a slave, be loving to your master. Mara Jade wants to kill Luke Skywalker. And Luke, the whole time, says, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I still love you, and I'm going to bring you around.
We'll get to that later.
I'm going to bring you around, Mara. And Mara does.
Yep,
she comes around.
Oh, great. Oh, man. Oh,
so.
It's okay. We'll Luke get to that
keeps,
later.
Luke keeps doing
hold that.
That.
Thought.
Luke keeps doing that. So, this is a message for you, believers. Be kind to everyone, even those who are against your belief and do not love God, even those who are against you,
yeah.
even those who want to attack you and hurt you. If you are anywhere in the world and being persecuted, love your persecutors. Love all of them. Be kind to them. Be kind to homosexuals, devil worshipers, crooked politicians, everyone.
Is there any other kind?
Be kind to all of them.
Yeah.
Now, I have a long verse to read, but I'm going to go through it quickly. But this okay. is important. The final point of mine. Turn with me once again in your lightsabers.
To the second best book.
In the lightsaber. We're going to Romans.
Yes.
Chapter 1, verse 18. And we're going to read quite a bit here. This is on page 1204.
Or it could also be on page 1126, depending on which Bible you're using.
The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen.
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 Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. They will not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. You, therefore, have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? Turn a little further to chapter 3, verse 9. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. In the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we became conscious of sin. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So, when you come against anyone who is against you, anyone who does not obey the law, does not obey God, don't be cruel. Don't hold signs and picket. Don't attack them. Don't tell them that they're stupid or idiots.
He's preaching to the choir.
Or that they're going to hell. Yeah. Don't do that. Be kind, loving, patient, gentle. Have the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Be like Luth, and Darth Vader will turn around.
Amen.
My section was called, by the way, Star Wars Episodes 1 through 6, Out of Darkness Through the Sun.
Well, mine is just merely called The Purchase of Anakin Skywalker. And I'm going to touch on all the same things that you touched on, Richard, because okay. we have the neural handshake took place probably 8 episodes ago when we first worked together. And not to take anything away from yours because you just hit a home run. I'm going to look at it from a different perspective, okay, and see if we can just offer a little acorn for believers out there that want to share the gospel easily using Return of the Jedi. So the purchase of Anakin Skywalker, because this entire story arc, episodes 1 through 6, truly and really is focused on Anakin Skywalker.
He brought balance to the Force.
Yes, and that is, well, wait until we get to that for here. Not only is it focused on Anakin, but it is really, it's God's story. It's God's story and how he redeemed him from sin and death. Okay, Brendan, Yoda and Obi-Wan are constantly wrong about Luke. If you think about it from this perspective. Okay, you can't go, you're not strong enough,
right,
you shouldn't be doing this, you gotta stay put, it really reminds me of, even though they mean well, it reminds me of the religious leaders of Jesus' day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where Jesus says, hey, not only do you prevent those who want to enter into the kingdom, you bar the door, you don't even go in. You don't even go in. They just making mistakes, and Luke proves them wrong, ultimately, time and time again.
Yep.
And so, you know, Luke is... It gets back to episode 3. Was that when you were talking about the broken Jedi Order?
I think it was episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, so go back and listen to those, dear listeners. Brendan put forth the notion, and I think he was right on, that the Jedi Order is a broken order. And it's been needing help. Well, here comes Luke Skywalker, the perfect or sanctified Jedi. However, Yoda is correct about one person, and that would be Anakin Skywalker. And when we go back to Dagobah, a lot of good things happen on Dagobah, and we learn a lot of good things. A Christian could spend a lot of time there on that lonely little swamp planet. But just before...
I hear it's a good vacation
place. They're selling timeshares cheap.
Yeah. Plenty of snakes.
Just before Yoda gives up the ghost and becomes one with the Force and goes to his heavenly reward, he does give those final words of wisdom to Luke.
And beware. Anger, fear, aggression. The dark side are they. Once you start down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny.
That applies to Anakin Skywalker. We heard those same things in the early episodes. Anger, fear, and aggression, the dark side are they, which is the opposite of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even need to read that again. I think that over the last couple of episodes, we've imprinted that onto the listeners' minds. It's the opposite, and that is the path that Anakin chose. Once you start down that path, Anakin Skywalker, forever will it dominate your destiny, because as the second best book in the Bible says in chapter 6, verse 23 of Romans, the wages of sin is death, or our due payment, as the New English translation says. It's what you're owed. You are owed that. You sin, you're owed death. Pay up, please. I've sinned, so where's my payment? Oh, well, here you go. Here's death.
Here's your death.
Here's your death. You know, next.
Now, yeah, yeah. You know.
I'm imagining the black hooded guy with the sides standing there.
Yes,
it's
death.
Time. But mm-hmm. Of course, having grown up watching Fairly Odd Parents, it's Norm MacDonald.
Yep. So now, getting back to a thought that Richard just threw out there, ever since episode one came out, I've racked my brain on one thing. The one thing that I've always felt was the key to understanding this whole story arc with a Christian worldview. And that is that it was prophesied in The Phantom Menace. You know, they mentioned the prophecy that Anakin Skywalker would bring balance back to the Force. What is that balance? Okay. It was not that Anakin solved any kind of a problem. He didn't. But his son, Luke, by redeeming Anakin, by purchasing him back from the dark side, he solved the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We can read a little bit about that in 1 John 2.
What page is that on?
Well, it's on this PDF right now. 1 John chapter 2 of the New American Standard Bible. And this is under a heading, Christ is our advocate. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the, here's a $5 word, is the propitiation.
Aha.
Which in the New English translation in the NIV says the atoning sacrifice mm-hmm. for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. We have an advocate. Oh, and Brendan, we love advocates around here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty glad we have an advocate.
Yes. So Anakin Skywalker brings balance to the Force through Luke. I'm going to get to that even further to wrap up my point here in just a couple of minutes. But the Skywalker family is a picture of the human family. How is that? Anakin Skywalker is Adam. Luke is Jesus. First Adam, last Adam. Just like Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. So also it's written, the first man, Adam, became a living person. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Oh, let's see if Luke fits into that. So how is Anakin like Adam? You know, I mean, if you say that, hey, Anakin Skywalker is just like Adam. Well, let me tell you how. One was created supernaturally by the Force. Now, we had the tendency to say, oh, that's a Messiah. Like, isn't that like Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. He had no father. No. Let's back up a little bit further. Because the other was created supernaturally by God. Adam. One gave in to his lusts, turned to the dark side for power.
Mm-hmm.
The other fell into sin by his desire to be like God. Okay, and we're talking corporately, you know, Adam and Eve. You know, right. If you want to say, right. Well, Eve is the one who gave in to the, you know, the temptation of the serpent, and then Adam ate after, whatever, corporately, together, man, Adam.
Mankind.
Yeah, fell into sin by his desire to be like God. One was redeemed through Luke's sacrifice, and one was redeemed by Jesus' sacrifice. One had faith in his son. The other had faith in the son. S-O-N.
Mm.
One was absorbed into the force as eternal life, and the other gained eternal life. Anakin Skywalker is a picture of us. We're all in Adam. We are fallen, sinful man, led down the dark path by our own lusts. Somebody really quick turn to James chapter 1. And I believe it's 13 through 15. And Richard, what version are you using?
NIV.
Brendan, what version do you have pulled up?
NIV, but I'll go to NLT.
Okay.
For good measure.
You, Richard, I want you to read it out of the NIV. James chapter 1, verses 14 or 13 through 15. I have two different. It's either 14 through 15 or 13, so we'll just go ahead and read 13. No, as a matter of fact, Brendan, because you have the one that's in, like, common English, you read first.
Okay. Starting in 13.
Yes, 13 through 15 of James chapter 1.
And remember, when you are tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death.
Okay.
Anger leads to fear.
14 and 15 out of the NIV, just 14 and 15.
But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death.
Which is, and the wages of sin is death, right? That's what we're owed. So, Anakin was that fallen, sinful man led down the dark path by his own lust, just as Yoda was warning Luke. So, Luke wants to do something about Anakin. He wants to save him from this conundrum that he's in. And because he is of that demeanor, in that nature, the Emperor believes that that is his Achilles heel.
I have foreseen it. His compassion for you will be his undoing.
Oh, boy, is he sure of himself. His compassion for you will be his undoing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Anakin Skywalker believes that Luke is acting in folly. He's being Father, come with me. Come with me.
Obi-Wan once thought as you do. You don't know the power of the dark side. I must obey my master.
I will not turn, and you'll be forced to kill me.
If that is your destiny.
Suit your feelings, Father. You can't do this. I feel the conflict within you. Let go of your hate.
It is too late for me, son.
Oh, that's sad. That is sad. Let's break that sound clip down just a little bit. Luke says, come with me. Anakin says, you don't understand the power of this bondage to the dark side. You don't understand that I must obey my master. His master is his lusts and sin and this bondage that he's in. He is a slave to the Emperor. I must obey my master. I can't help but to obey sin. I'm in bondage to sin. No, let go of the anger. Let go of the fear and the aggression, Father. Come with me, Luke pleads again. It's too late for me. just like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 describes people having no hope and without God in the world. Okay, that's what the Gentiles were. That's who he's referring to, having no hope and without God in the world. But that is Anakin Skywalker. But Luke, no, that's not good enough for me, Dad. Not good enough for me. I don't like that answer. So I'm going to go and present myself. I'm going to sacrifice myself. I'm going in there. I've already come here, told you, well, soon I'll be dead. I'll be dead. And you, but that's what he said to the emperor, isn't it? You're wrong. Soon I'll be dead and you with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So Luke sacrifices himself and taking the full wrath of the dark side of sin, that blue force lightning, by doing that, sacrificing himself, putting himself in that position, he was able to give back a choice to Anakin, a choice that he did not have because he was in bondage. But that sacrifice just freed him from that bondage and gave him a choice. And that choice was to trust in the Son with a capital S. It was the choice to resist that beast, sin, the emperor crouching at the door with the desire to dominate him, just as God told Cain in one of my favorites, Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Sin is crouching at your door, Anakin. And he's heard that his whole life. Sin is crouching at your door, Anakin. And its desire is to dominate you. That, his name is the emperor. He's the coming. Serpent. He's coming for you. But Luke gives him that choice. I'm sacrificing myself for you. I will not take no for an answer from you. You're coming with me. I will not take no for an answer. In fact, I'm going to take the full wrath of sin. And I am going to give back that choice to you so that Vader can cast off Darth Sidious is his name. It's not the Emperor. It's not Palpatine. It is Sidious, Darth Sidious. Oh, boy, that reminds me of a word, insidious. Right.
Huh.
Which is an adjective meaning proceeding in a gradual, subtle way, but with harmful effects. What does that remind you of? Or treacherous and crafty. Darth Sidious is his name, and it is what he is. Vader casts off Darth Sidious, sin, and chooses to trust in the Son.
Mm.
Oh. Trust in the Son. It's so much so that you get the most beautiful scene. I mean, they call in a real actor, buddy. We need somebody that can act and pull this scene off.
Now, go, my son. Leave me.
No, you're coming with me. I'll not leave you here. I've got to save you.
You already have, Luke. You were right. You were right about me. Tell your sister, you were right.
You have saved me. You sacrificed yourself for me. You gave me back the choice. You gave me the choice to kick that crouching beast of sin down the hole, down into the fire, down into the bottomless pit. You gave me the choice back. You saved me. Tell your sister. Tell your sister that you were right about me. That's important to me as a father.
Go and tell others.
Yes, exactly. Go and tell others that you have come to give that choice to everyone. And so this is still, how is this balance? How is this balance? And then it hit me this morning. Finally, after all these years, check this out. See if this makes any sense to you guys at all, because I didn't see it. This is how Anakin brought balance. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, the second part. See that 1 John chapter 2, 1 through 2, that's my key text. But really, I want to focus on this right now, the second part of verse 1. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Brendan, we have been saying episode after episode after episode that the advocate, the Paraclete, is the Holy Spirit. We've proven it, as a matter of fact,
yeah,
over and over again on Finding Christ in Cinema. But here it says that the advocate is Jesus. But Jesus is also the advocate. And in the upper room in John chapter 4, verse 16, he says, I'll ask my Father, and he will send another advocate. Okay? So, that way we can stick with this verse. I wanted to lay that down. So, it is God. Here we go. The balance.
Mm-hmm.
It is God that does the redeeming, the saving, and the sustaining. So there you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. But it's all directed by God the Father.
Yeah.
It's his plan. Thus bringing back into balance the scales that found Darth Vader, Adam, the King of Babylon even, right, and Daniel, yeah, and us wanting. Well, how is that? Because you had sin and death on one side, nothing on this side. It was just boom.
Okay, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was no choice. There was no choice to have. So God, in his story of how he redeemed us both from sin and death, put that sacrifice, that redemption, that propitiation on this side of the scale. So now, boop, balances out. You can choose. Mm-hmm. Before Jesus came, there was no choice to be made.
Mm-hmm.
We can get into all kinds of eschatology. Let's not do that right now. Just believe me on this one. There wasn't a choice to be made, and that's why when people died, and then they had to wait. Until Jesus came. And then here comes the balance. Boom. That's the balance that Anakin brought. He did bring balance to the Force. He brought balance to everything through his son, because it was his son that made that sacrifice and gave back the choice to Anakin Skywalker, to everyone else. You can choose. You can choose. You're not in bondage to sin anymore. Now you can choose. Wow. Key text once again, 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. When you are sitting on your
double-decker couch
with your friend or your loved one, and you are watching the finale so far of the Star Wars story arc, it all comes down to this. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Don't give in to that crouching beast of sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate now. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice. He can make the payment on our behalf. He can purchase Anakin Skywalker from the Emperor. He can purchase Anakin Skywalker from sin and death and destruction. He can purchase him back for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world. Questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks.
Yes!
Please.
no, not yes to I have piggybacks or anything. Just yes! I'm so glad that we have the choice.
Yeah.
Ah!
Thank you, Luke Skywalker. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. He's a Christ figure.
We don't have to stay dead.
Yeah.
We can have eternal life?
Wait,
what is this you're telling me, Michael? I can live?
Yes.
Forever? I don't have to just die?
Yes. Isn't that beautiful? Because what's the natural state of life? You are born, you live, and you die.
And that's depressing.
It is. But that's natural. That's nature.
That is depressing. And that
but God has given us.
That goes into a listener feedback I'm going to give later.
Okay.
Yes.
God gives us a choice, though, and he gives us a free gift. What's that gift?
Eternal life.
Yeah, in Christ Jesus. All you have to do is trust that he made that sacrifice. Trust that he gives you that choice. Trust that he not only can pull you back from bondage of sin, but he can sustain you.
And now, in the end,
yes,
when all is said and done, and the old world fades away and the new world comes. That scale, which used to be weighed down by sin, now that eternal life had been set on the scale, and the scale is even, the sin, the death, will be then taken off the scale, and eternal life will be the only option.
Yes.
Without the pain, without the suffering. Because a lot of people think, I don't want to live forever because living sucks. You don't understand.
Yeah.
You don't understand the sucky part's going to be gone. Yeah. Because we're going to live with God. You
minus can't comprehend sucky part.
Yes.
Sans. Sans sucky part. Or stuff. Sans sucky stuff.
Sucky stuff.
The SSS.
We're going to live with God, which we can't comprehend, but we're going to live with Him.
Perfected.
So we're living with the Father, so we won't be tempted anymore because He's right there beside us.
Right.
And He's like, hey, I'm right here. I'm no longer divided from you. I'm here with you.
You're no longer seeing me in a mirror dimly.
Yes. Through a glass darkly. Yes.
Through a veil.
Yes. Oh,
Can I just throw out...
Please.
Favorite verse in the whole entire sword?
Yes.
John 17:3.
What?
Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Amen. That and, is eternal life.
And that Amen. And that starts here and now.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, wow. See, whereas when you sin, you're owed. You owe me money. You owe me. You owe me. But eternal life is a free gift. It's not owed to you. Here, it's yours. Just take it. Take it. And that ties into your point so beautifully. That's what we're offering the world. It's for life. Take it, please. Yes, it's yours.
Don't offer it with a frown. Don't offer it with sarcasm or
it's
anger.
It's already been paid for.
Yes.
It's all taken care of. He died for you. He died for your sins. He covered those sins. Just accept it. Take it.
Free gift, man. Yep. Free gift.
Everybody likes free?
Yes.
Man, so I think
crazy too. When you said the purchase of Anakin Skywalker, I thought you were going to talk about in episode one when they literally purchased him. They literally purchased him in the first movie. How's that connect to what you're...
That's why I'd love to go back and watch episode one just for little Annie. Cute little kid. I mean, how does God see?
A lot of people hated that kid.
I don't care.
He was just looking for power converters.
I've been looking at this whole series always from a Christian perspective. Mm-hmm. I look at everything it's from different. A Christian perspective. And I've wanted this moment so bad for so long to get to this. And because it is his story. So yes. Yeah, he's sold into slavery. I mean, we could go way too deep. We're already in an hour and a half. I think that we need to move on for... let's throw out the challenge. What Christian themes have you found in this movie? They are plenty. They're ripe for the picking. The harvest is white. I mean, the fields are white for harvest. And as far as Christian themes...
We need some more workers.
Yeah, we do. And share with us... we want to share them with the listeners. We have a couple of things from Patron St. Philip that are coming up. But again, we will give you all the ways to contact us here at the end of the episode. So let's do it now. It is time for listener feedback. And once again, we are going with our coconuts.
Who goes there? It is I.
Patron St. Philip. At King Philip's Stables. Brendan, he left a comment on Star Wars Episode V, titled Faith and Heart, on the episode. He says, hey guys, these Star Wars episodes have been some good summer fun.
I'm glad someone thought that.
One thing I get from The Empire Strikes Back is how Lando could have ended up like Kane, but he chose to do the right thing. Perfect. Yes, when we do bad things, they can snowball and lead us down a road of even more destructive behavior. After killing his brother Abel, Cain was confronted by God and responded with concern for the consequences he would have to face rather than regret over his sin. Namely, in Genesis chapter 4, verses 13 through 14 out of the New King James Version, and Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely You have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. Lando was indeed in a tough situation, and he easily could have just saved himself after betraying Han and company. That would be the easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
That was my own interjection. However, he decided to try and make up for some of his past behavior and saved Leia, Chewbacca, and C-3PO as well, and then went back for Luke. Lando is a good example that no matter how bad we mess up, we don't have to continue on that path. We can repent and make restitution as best we can. That feels like a bit of a stretch, but it's the best I came up with. You guys really do make this look easy. He's buttering us up there because he just came up with a brilliant thing and then says, oh, but it's not as good as what you guys come up with.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Shame on you.
Don't compare.
He says, lastly, I literally like it a lot that Ron's voicemail took a couple of pot shots at you guys. He was like Tom Cruise in Top Gun. The shots were there and he took them. We'll save his closing remark because he went back in the archive. I guess that
episode I guess he got bored.
Yeah, so he went back to episode 13. What did we talk about on episode 13?
We talked about Signs.
Okay, and what do you have to say about that, Brendan?
M Night
Shyamalan Ding Dong.
M Night Shyamalan.
The ding dong.
He says, I love this film. It's one of my favorites. It shows how God's providence can be years in the making.
Yes!
With many things happening and coming together for perhaps just one particular moment in time. This reminds me of Mordecai's words to Esther in the Old Testament when the Jews were under great threat and she was in a position to approach the king for relief, but at great personal risk. And then he reads from Esther chapter 4, verses 12 through 14 out of the New King James Version. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place.
It will arise from somewhere else, Esther, is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I love that.
But you and your father's house will perish.
Mm.
Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?
Yeah.
Y'all did a great job, especially catching the parallel between Graham and his son and God and Graham. Thanks for the show. My weed lot, Gimlet!
Oh, as always, wonderful thoughts from the patron saint, Philip. I mean, that it's also interesting how he's talking about an instance that's going to fit into our... Well, we're not ready to announce that yet, but into our little side project. All right, any other feedback?
You had a point.
I do have a point.
What?
Well, first off, I forgot to mention...
Live feedback!
Live feedback!
Live feedback!
Wait, wait. Echo.
Yeah.
Live feedback!
First off, before I get my live feedback, I forgot to mention, this is my birth week. This right here is the beginning of my birthday celebrations.
Oh, well.
It's time with you guys.
Oh, how nice!
Time with you listeners.
Yay! Oh. Woo! I love it.
So, Life of Pi.
Uh-huh.
I think the ending of the movie is different from what you guys think
okay,
it was.
Okay, and that's fine. So what's next?
Moving on.
I mean, we're still right.
Yeah, hey, I mean, you can disagree. That's fine. We love you, brother.
No.
No, but I do like your perspective, so please share
it. So, when he's telling the story to the...
The insurance guys.
Yeah. And he tells them the story of the animals, and they're like, come on, give us something that we can write. Give us the truth. What you're telling is foolish. There's no way it can be real. Tell us the truth. And he makes up a story. He tells them that his mother was on the ship, and the cook was, and this depressing story. It is depressing. It is sad, but it's realistic. It's realistic, but it is just sad. That is life, where the scale is just death. And there is no salvation or eternal life to balance the scale. That is just death. And that's what a lot of people want. Yeah. A lot of people say,
Why do they find comfort in that? How can you?
You can't.
I don't know.
That is depressing. Yeah. Life without God.
It's nihilistic is what
yes.
it is.
Yes. And nihilism is depressing.
Yeah.
And so you look at that nihilistic perspective that, that Pi gave. And that is what a lot of people want to hear. They just say, no, there is no way anything special ever exists in this world. There is nothing special. Everything's terrible. Everything's sad. The cook kills and eats your mother. Let it be.
Eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow.
That's what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're just going to die and move on with it. Life sucks.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm sorry. The real true story. The entire point of Life of Pi to me, and I think it's the entire point that they were making at the beginning. Pi says, I have a story that will make you believe in God.
Yeah. Good accent.
Yes.
Mr. Parker.
Richard Parker.
Richard Parker. Side note, oddly enough, Richard Parker is the name of the father of Peter Parker. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he tells you, I have a story that will make you believe in God. That's the point of the movie. I'm going to make you believe in God because something amazing has happened. And let me tell you what's amazing. A man came to Earth who is God. He went out and did amazing things and helped people and changed people's lives. And he died, he was murdered, and he came back to life. And he walked the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he ascended into heaven. And all of the people that saw him, they changed their lives. They ran. They saw something amazing. They saw a lion. They saw a tiger in a boat on the ocean. And it changed their lives.
Well, look back up just a minute. Because even Pi, when he is recounting his meeting with Jesus in life, and he says, "Yo, why would a God come down and die for people that are imperfect? That makes no sense. It makes no sense." And that's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. And people, I mean, it's like repels people.
Yes.
Because not only did God come down and become a man, was born of a virgin, did amazing things, touched lives, healed lepers, rose the dead, put, you know, lame and maimed and, you know, forgave sin and all that stuff. But not only that, but then he died, not for anything that he did, but for everything you did, everything I did, everything everybody did. He took the punishment for that. Why? Why would a God do something like that? Because
he loves us.
Yeah. He so loves the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him will not perish.
But have eternal life.
Have life. The opposite. Supernatural. Eternal life is supernatural. The natural state of man is you are born, you live, and you die.
So these insurance people, they just wanted the depressing thing.
Yeah.
No, life sucks. Life's terrible. Yep.
And you're not changing your mind on that.
Yeah, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And Pi, so
and
Pi,
we like it.
So Pi tells the boring story.
Yeah.
And then at the end, the reporter asks, well, which one's true?
Yeah.
And Pi asks him, which one would you rather believe in? The one with the tiger.
Why? Why?
What did he say? I can't remember. What did he say? Why? What was the guy's answer?
It was the gist of it was he just liked it better.
It was a better story.
Yeah.
I think that's what he said. It's a better story.
Yeah.
It is a better story. It's more amazing than
gave hope?
It gives hope. It's more amazing than life appeared out of the blue.
Yeah. Out of nothing.
Out of nothing.
Nothing.
And we're all going to die.
Yeah.
And that is it.
And it doesn't matter.
Nothing matters.
Yeah. The best that you can do, the best that you have to offer is nothing.
Is nothing.
Nothing.
But God spoke into nothingness.
Yeah.
And created everything.
Hey, just being able to speak into nothingness, because nothing also implies that there's no room to speak into.
Yes.
There's not even space. There's no room. So not only is there no materials to work with, there's not even the place to work with them on.
Yes.
There's no workbench.
So Pi tells you, here is the better story, which is the true story that happened. An amazing thing happened. You'll believe in God because something amazing happened. That's what I have to say about the life of
Pi. And I love your perspective. You're still wrong. But
hey, no, sir. No. Entirely right.
Okay, so that's it for all of our... do we have any real news? No, we have no real news.
I mean, did you look at all of the Star Wars news?
No, we don't want to do any. What we want to do right now is...
Well-mannered frivolity.
I watched Home. Have you seen Home?
With the little alien? No, I haven't.
Yeah. It's actually a good movie.
You liked it?
Yes. Did you see it?
No.
Okay. Starts up, for me, it was like starting off, I was like, I don't like this movie at all. But then after a little span of time or something, it's like, I really like this movie. And the story, a lot of Christian themes in there. A lot of Christian themes. Great, you know, sacrifice and redemption and friendship and love. And real love, sacrificial love, things like that. I would recommend, if you haven't watched it, see it. Watch it from that perspective. Watch it with your Christian lenses on, and you'll enjoy that. I think that's the only movie that I saw this past week. I've been, again, playing lots of LOTRO still. I bought a house. I've been doing sound tests
Lord
and things
Rings
like
online.
That. Yes. Getting ready for the Tolkien show. So that's
yes,
a lot of pre-production
see,
work.
A video game. Is preparation for your show.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
I have to get them leveled up a certain level. Or
go to Mordor.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, Brendan, what have you been doing? Hey, did you go to the movies?
Oh, I went to the movies.
Okay.
Fantastic Four.
Uh-huh. Oh, we did touch on this last week, and were the critics correct or incorrect?
I hate to say it, but they were a little correct.
Oh, in what way?
It was so... They tried too hard.
Okay.
20th Century Fox tried to be Marvel.
They don't know what they're doing,
they
do
don't.
They?
They really don't. And
isn't it kind of disrespectful that they don't give it over to people that know what they're doing?
I think so, yeah. Because I love the cast.
Yeah.
Miles Teller, Kate Mara, Jamie Bell, and Michael B. Jordan.
Doom. The Human Torch.
Oh. The Human Torch, Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
I
want to see him.
They were all good. Okay. It's just I don't think that, again, 20th Century Fox didn't know what they were doing, and it took away from it.
Now Micah went and saw it with some friends because they wanted to go and see it, and he said, "Eh, you know,
there's not even a stinger at the end."
They don't know what they're doing.
They don't.
But he did say that he liked Doctor Doom or what they're setting up with Doctor Doom. What did you think of that?
I thought Doctor Doom was well.
Okay. Okay.
Again, I thought the characters and even the actors were good. I liked the focus that they gave on the growing of the characters, but we didn't get a lot of time with them trying to use their powers.
Okay, David Gaddy just put in the chat room that the director of Fantastic Four is blaming the studio. Smiley face.
Oh, yeah.
He tweeted that he had a good version of the movie last year.
Ugh.
Yeah, I think, seriously, Fox or Sony or whoever it is, they just need...
20th Century Fox.
Have respect for fans.
Mm.
Respect your audience. And hand it over to somebody. Just say, hey, give us a cut. You know, we own the property. We have the rights. So,
right.
You know, we're going to split like what they're going to do with Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. You got to do it. Come on, step up to the plate. But you did find a Christian angle on it. And so we want people to get over to ChristInCinema.com and read your Monday movie review so that if it comes up, you know, around the water cooler and some people are talking about what a stinky movie it is, then you can say, you know, yeah, it really is. But man, it kind of reminds me of Christians. Well, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Okay, so get over and do that. What else?
Well, I got some new poetry up on the Book of Brendan.
Yeah. Ooh,
it's good.
And
did
a couple...
you write it?
I didn't write it.
Okay. No, he read it. I mean, he read it.
Okay.
And a couple new music videos on the YouTube channel, one of which David Gaddy requested himself.
Ah. Freebird.
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
It wasn't Freebird.
Freebird!
No. Or in modern context, Wagon Wheel!
I don't know what that is.
Because people want to request Wagon Wheel.
What's Wagon Wheel?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, don't talk to me, mister. I don't know any old hymns.
Whatever. So let's just mulligan. Let's mulligan that.
All right.
Oh, so I also got some new poetry up on the Book of Brendan. And some new music videos on the YouTube channel.
And
one of which you can thank David Gaddy for.
Of?
The Theonauts!
What's the address to bookofbrendan.com? Thebookofbrendan.com. What's the address of the URL over there? Oh, the one for thebookofbrendan.com? Oh, okay.
www.thebookofbrendan.
HTTP. /. Okay. Right on. Okay, do we have anything in the lightning round?
I have a quick little thing, and yes. It's like, it's neither here nor there, but if you're on Spotify... Richard's turned me on to Spotify, and I just like that you can just browse through music and listen.
It's amazing.
I found a nice little instrumental album by Tracy Chataway called Third Place. It's just pianos, strings, drums, and natural ambiance. Simple and beautiful.
All right. That was a lightning round. Okay.
That was very
now
lightning.
We're going to make a little bit of a room here because we have to talk.
Yes, we do.
We must talk professional wrestling. When we last left you with Sir Richard Chilton, Sir Richard the Chilton, we shall call him.
If you're going to go with the professional wrestling thing, my name is Sir Richard Regal.
Oh, yes! That's like Johnny Hart and all. Oh, my goodness!
It's like William Regal. If
you okay, want. So let's back up. We did mention that you are a professional wrestler.
Not are.
Was.
Okay, so I...
When I was a child,
I wrestled like
wrestled
a
as a child.
Okay, these pictures that I saw on YouTube.
YouTube?
I mean, on Facebook.
There is a video of a wrestling challenge.
He has a promo.
I have a wrestling promo that I made.
That is very Macho Man-esque.
No, not Macho Man. It's very Rock meets Chris Jericho.
Okay, excuse me. Forgive me.
I know who The Rock is.
Mm.
Okay. Let's not give away the farm because we're going to. This is going to be a recurring segment every time.
Okay.
The wrestling segment. So these pictures that I saw on Facebook, and you are this skinny little dude in the square circle with some big ugly looking guys, and it looks like you're really egging them on and giving them the business. What were these pictures from?
I'm not.
Where was this?
You think I'm egging them on and giving them the business?
Yeah.
I'm a ring announcer.
Oh!
That's what it was. I was a ring announcer.
Boy, it looked like you were getting mad.
Was in the past.
Oh, wow.
I had to have some attitude. It was the SWF, Southern Wrestling Federation, in Tullahoma, Tennessee.
Really? Is this a real thing?
Yes.
Okay.
A real thing. And so at one point I wanted to be a professional wrestler because I thought I have the talent to do this. And I do have the talent to do it. I have the talent to do too many things. I could do it. My poor back says no.
Uh-huh.
I went through the training. And
thing is like Hulk Hogan went through back in the 60s.
Yes, and let me tell you something, listeners. Those of you who are naysayers to wrestling, first off, Max Landis, I believe is his name. You need to look at a video he made that Wrestling is Wrestling. It's this great video that focuses on the character of Triple H and tells you about how incredible wrestling is. He's the guy that wrote the movie Chronicle. You look up what he has to say about it. It's great. And it's a hilarious video. So I wanted to be a wrestler. And my poor back said, no, you can't do this. But I did the training. And let me tell you, it is incredibly fun. Incredibly athletic.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. Professional wrestlers, the guys in the big leagues, they are probably, you can all smack me if you want to. They're probably the greatest athletes on the face of the earth.
I believe it.
They can do things that no one else can do, and they do it every night.
Yeah.
These people are putting on a show every night. And not only that, not only are they athletes, they are storytellers.
Yes.
They tell stories. I call it theatrical mock competition in the round. That's what they do.
That is brilliant.
That's pretty much what it is.
Yes. You nailed it.
So if you want to continue talking to me about wrestling, we'll do that next time.
All right.
I became a ring announcer. Richard Regal was my name, and I eventually called myself Righteous Richard Regal, Triple R.
Oh, oh my gosh.
So, also, this Sunday, I am...
Sunday!
August 23rd, it is my birthday, and they happen to have a wrestling pay-per-view SummerSlam. And
yeah, buddy.
And last year in New Orleans, I went to watch WrestleMania 30.
Wow.
And... The Undertaker had been defeated his entire career at WrestleMania. At WrestleMania, the show, that one particular show, he's never been beat. It was 21 matches. He had never been defeated.
Huh.
Brock Lesnar defeated him.
Well. Yeah.
And the crowd went silent for 15 whole minutes. Just silent. Just silence. You never see that. The only time that happens at a wrestling show is when they're bored. But this wasn't boredom. They were like, holy, what?
Yeah.
And he lost. But this Sunday, Brendan's going to be there.
Oh, buddy.
Don't let him tell you that. Don't let him make you think he's not a wrestling fan.
No,
we're watching SummerSlam, and The Undertaker's coming back.
Well,
and he is angry, and he's going to face Brock Lesnar.
He's going to take a trip to where, Richard? Suplex City.
Suplex City.
Take me down to Suplex City, where the,
where the Undertaker lost his record.
Ladies and gentlemen, please order the WWE Network for only $9.99 this Sunday.
Not a sponsor.
Oh, maybe they'll give you. Maybe Vince McMahon will give you some dollars.
David in the chat room, he says Stephen Amell is at SummerSlam. Right?
Yes, the Green Arrow from the show Arrow. Stephen Amell, the actor himself, is going to be in a wrestling match because he has been taunting a wrestler.
Well, taunting and taunted.
Yes,
he's been taunted by
Jon Stewart of the Daily Show. His first public. Post Daily Show activity is hosting SummerSlam this Sunday night.
Wow.
Because he and the champion, Seth Rollins, have been verbally battling for the entire year. Seth Rollins even showed up on the Daily Show.
All right, that's enough wrestling for this episode. Stay tuned to
Finding Christ in Professional Wrestling.
Yes. Brendan, what's coming up on Finding Christ in Cinema?
Well, next week we're going back to Gotham. We're going to finish up.
Welcome, Dr. Gotham.
We're going to finish up the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy with The Dark Knight Rises.
Bad reviews and all.
See, I'm not reading the IMDb reviews.
All right.
I love this movie.
And then what's up after that?
Oh, then we have our first special since forever and a half.
Since like episode 24, I think.
Yeah.
No,
21.
No, but a long time ago. It's been a long time. Since
our first special episode. We're not going to be reviewing a movie, but we're going to. We've already got some feedback from...
Well, from John Wilkerson.
From certain listeners. John, yes. Yep. We're going to be answering patron Saint Philip's question. How do we choose what we're going to watch?
Yeah, yeah. How do we choose what we're not going to watch? Yeah. It's going to be an interesting discussion.
We'll be talking about being a filter and not a sponge, about discernment. We'll be talking about a lot of things.
And then after that, we start all over...
With the Lion King.
No. God doesn't want us to do the Lion King. But it doesn't matter, guys. It doesn't matter if we do the Lion King or not. What matters is that Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the GCT Network studio each Thursday, Lord willing, at around 3 p.m. Central Time. So you can join us for live video and especially the chat room using the chat and the video player at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. For all things Christ in Cinema, the podcast, Brendan's MMRs, that's Monday Movie Review, the links to all the social networking sites that we do, all the wrestling you can handle, and much more than that, get over to christincinema.com. You can send us email, just stamp that envelope and address it to FCC@gctnetwork.com.
You can... Ooh. Oh, no, go ahead. Excuse me. You can...
Oh, yeah!
Call us up on the voice line. Call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN. And if that phone doesn't work for you, try our other emergency line at 507... Yeah, no, it's not a trap. 507-407-4286.
Yeah? Is that it?
No, I was going to wait for you to press button.
Okay.
Now, let's say you want to listen to the good old podcast, but you want to laugh it up, Fuzzball.
Laugh it up, Fuzzball.
But you don't want to get any falafel.
I thought my jokes were bad.
He loved duct tape. And you can't press the button that I'm saying.
You are just a sad, strange little man.
Just search the iTunes store, search Stitcher, and search TuneIn Radio.
Babbling, bumbling band of baboons.
For Finding Christ in Cinema.
And for all the shows that we produce here on the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas,
the Theonauts!
Plus many more coming soon. Get over to the official website at gctnetwork.com. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
That's a trap!
I'm afraid you're just too darn loud.
And that is a trap!
Never tell me beyond.
Oh, I didn't mean that. Thanks, Richard Chilton, for joining us here.
Welcome, thank you.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
Not tell anyone else of your bursting
sandamandal hogwash.
What a bunch of hippy-dippy baloney.
It's stuff like this. Gives him trust issues.
That's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
Potatoes.
That's all I've got to say about that.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission
at GCTnetwork.com. This is your Great Commission.